Surprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today with Clarence Rosario, who's Director of Product Management at Zoho and Head of Business Intelligence. We're going to talk about AI, business intelligence, and how we use the two together. Clarence, good morning.
Good morning, Ian. It's a pleasure to meet you. I have been with Zoho for more than 25 years. I head Business Intelligence Product Division. My area of specialization is more into data, getting insights out of data, and now in the recent times, how to bring in AI into the context of data and make much more sense of what you're collecting. That's what I do, run this division in Zoho.
Business intelligence. We've been doing it for as long as we've had businesses, trying to find out who our competitors are, our customers, what people want, what they don't want, tuning the business. But in the last 20, 30, 40 years, we've been gathering so much data that our ability to process, understand, and do anything with that data has been limited. Enter AI, and before it, machine learning, enabling us to do better insights and analytics. From your perspective and from Zoho's perspective, how do AI and business intelligence sit together for your customers?
If AI has to work well, that needs enormous amounts of data because AI is all about trying to model, train the systems to be more intelligent. If you don't have data that can be used to train, then AI models will not be that relevant. It can be just simple statistical models, right, or a very defined deterministic models. AI needs data. What better system than a business system that holds data across all your enterprise applications would be relevant to have AI deployed the most effectively? I see a great fit of AI in the context of BA because BA naturally tries to collate data from a variety of applications that you might have inside your enterprise. Your business applications, your productivity applications, your personal applications. Everything gets consolidated in the context of a BA system because of this amount of data that you're collecting today also keeps increasing. They say the data that is being collected by enterprise is almost doubling every year. With that rapid velocity of data, which is being collected by a BA system, getting some kind of a logical inference from the data becomes a challenge. An AI system which is well-trained and deployed on this kind of data set can enable you or at least help you to get a jump start in terms of what kind of analysis you can do on this data. Because the data is huge, you can model better AI systems, which can autonomously run on this particular data set and get inferences out of that. That is a great enabler. And why I see that the future is going to be a BA system, which is going to be covered completely by AI. That's the future that we are looking at. Because without AI, whatever data that you're collecting inside the BA system, even though we might give you tools and capabilities to help you analyze, it will be still limiting. It will be still limiting because of the enormity of data that you're collecting. And AI is going to be a great enabler here.
One of the challenges with that data is we often don't know what's clean and what's dirty. We don't know what was a good decision that we made as a business and what was a bad decision. We also don't know how much duplication we have in our data. Best estimates that we see regularly from surveys is that organizations suspect that their level of duplication is probably around 60-70%, where data has been extracted from multiple projects, being partially clean, not fed back to the core data. If AI is going to rely on all our data across the business, what prep do we need to take into account? Or can we get to the point where AI is able to recognize a good decision from a bad decision or bad data from good data?
One thing that we have to understand for an effective AI to work is the strong data management foundation that is required. If you don't have a very strong, reliable data foundation, whatever you build, whether it's AI systems or applications, is going to be on weak turf. The data foundation is an essential thing for effective AI. You mentioned, how do we ensure good quality data? How do we ensure there are no duplicates? How do we ensure that you get notified if there is something wrong with the data? These are common problems that every enterprise faces because there are quite a lot of applications generating data. It is not standardized. Multiple people interact with applications. They enter data in different formats. All these things are real-time problems. That's why in the overall BI workflow, apart from getting data from a variety of sources, what they call data integration, the next important block is the data preparation and management block. That emphasizes the need of how you cleanse the data. How can you really set up good models? whatever you're analyzing over that, whether you're building a model or analyzing and getting insights, can be based on a very strong data foundation. That's the layer that a BI platform always offers. There was a time where identifying issues inside the data set in terms of duplication, redundancy, missing values, quite a lot of things, whether data is standardized, were done through a more heuristic model. You define the predefined set of rules that the systems will offer, which will go to the data, identify these are missing values, these are duplicates. That was the methodology that was available until recently in most of the data management products, which was good enough to get us started. But that was not sufficient given the data velocity that I'm talking about, huge amount of data that is coming from applications. Now, blending AI in this process of how can it enable you to do data preparation or data management effectively is the thing that is happening now in the realms of BI, where the AI models can really look at the data, flag duplications, flag what is missing, even suggest the best way to blend the data across multiple data applications that is coming from. For example, if you're bringing the data from your CRM application and your help desk application, when it's bringing in data, it can suggest a model of how this data can sit together in a single unified model. The AIs are becoming very intelligent to not only look at analysis, what I talked about decision making, but also help standardizing the data set that you're collecting so that you can build a strong data management foundation on which you can build analysis and even AI models. That is becoming very active. And every BI vendor is also trying to adopt AI across the spectrum, not just at the analytics and visualization layer, but inside the data management layer, where it can have capability in terms of deduplication, standardizing data models, anomaly detection, whatever, so data observability, where when things are happening wrongly, can I be notified automatically? Because if something is wrong, when the data is being duplicated and needs some kind of decision making for human intervention to come and rectify that, can the AI system flag that and send you an alert automatically, what they call ML-based alerting? I can come inside the system, go and rectify the error so that the pipelines are well built, and you have strong data which is well qualified and well standardized. I can use it for further analysis and downstream processing. To summarize, data management is an essential component to help you to standardize on the data. And AI is now becoming part of this process in the workflow to not only observe, but also assist you in terms of how you can come up with a strong data foundation.
Historically, we have relied on data engineers, database administrators, and other people in IT to do that initial prep. But one of the problems with that is a lot of the data that has intelligence isn't sitting in those structured data sets that these people manage. It sits on local machines and it's unstructured data. One of the things we've been saying around AI is that AI is capable of dealing with structured and unstructured data because AI understands context. Context has always been one of the more complicated problems we've had when we think about business intelligence, because statements taken out of context can lead us down a wholly dangerous business route. When we look to democratize our business intelligence through AI, that means we have to deal with all this localized, unstructured data. We've got to suck it up. We've got to analyze it. More importantly, we've still got to store that in a central store that people are going to be able to access. What does that mean for how we change our architecture for storage, how we change our architecture allowing AI access to all of that data?
There was a time where the entire analysis was done on a very well-defined, structured data source, namely structured databases, which will help you to collect data and put it in a very structured manner in those databases or data storages. In the recent times, the data is not just about structured data alone. You have unstructured data, you have semi-structured data. If we do not analyze that and empower people with that information that is captured there, whatever insights that you're getting is only half solid. In the last several years, if you look at the whole area of how this data space is evolving, the systems have become more and more capable. Data can not only come from structured data source, it can come from unstructured, semi-structured data. When you try to bring inside system, you have methodologies to not only store them, but start analyzing them and help you to get insights from the unstructured and semi-structured data. If you look at concepts like data lakes and data lakehouses that we are talking about today, they typically have the capability where you can ingest data which is structured, unstructured, semi-structured. It will still retain the original form when it is stored inside a data lake. These systems help you to store data and you can access it through an analytics system or a BI system to analyze data and get the insights, or you can access it through an AI processing engine, which will try to get the data, run the AI models and give you insights or come up with some kind of an action. That kind of interfacing points are now enabled because of this kind of architecture like data lakehouse. The storage layer itself is becoming much better for handling this variety of workloads. It is not only about writing and storing, but also the processing engines where like analytics or BI systems or AI models or DSML platforms can also interface with storage engines in a very contextual manner and deliver insights on whether be it semi-structured, structured or unstructured data. That is now becoming possible. Although I would not say we have solved it completely, but architecturally, we are moving towards this trajectory of trying to break down this complexity of ingesting the information from a variety of different applications, storing them without losing its fidelity, separate the compute from the storage, where the compute can be optimized for analytics, optimized for AI, optimized for this. That separation is not naturally built into this kind of systems. The end application can be anything, your BI systems, AI systems, or anything, a DSML platform, which will have the capability to go through this data, crunch them, analyze them, and get to information. As a data platform maturity, we are moving towards a direction where the blocks are falling in place to solve this problem in a very methodical way.
The big challenge with data lakehouses is people who work from home tend to work on their local machine and then they connect to a SaaS app and store. So we have that disconnect. I'd like to narrow in on a particular challenge. We've talked about the volume of data. We've talked about the challenge with getting it right for our business intelligence. But if we start to look at some specific examples, we don't necessarily want that user having access to all the data the business has. For example, if we think about a hospital, the accounting function in a hospital needs to know that I've had a procedure and that certain things have been used so that they can bill me or bill my insurance. They don't need to know about my medical history. Similarly, a doctor or a clinician working on me doesn't need to know what the state of my insurance and my accounting. In a business, accounting teams don't need to know a lot about what's going on with technical support or software development, but those teams also have very specific databases and functions. A lot of the conversation at the moment is about pulling all that enterprise data into one massive AI, but that doesn't give us the right guardrails. It requires a vast amount of processing and doesn't necessarily focus the answer on exactly what is needed by the end user. Are we moving into a world where instead of the big, humongous AI for the business, the reality is going to be the number of small language models that are departmental or business function focused that can talk to other models, but their effectiveness is in what they are looking at?
That is exactly the trajectory it is moving towards. But I will break down my answers a little further. There are two things that you asked for. One is, should we have to have a humongous data lake which will try to collect information from all these things? Is it possible to maintaining that and have a structure like that? The other thing is, can we have a humongous AI model which will run across all data set and answer different specific audience in a very relative manner, in a very contextual manner? Should it be a single humongous model or an LLM? Or should it be an SLM, a small language model, a medium language model, or a micro language model? Will that be a domain-specific model which can really solve the needs? Is that the architecture that's going to evolve? Let me answer the first question. As far as a data lake or lakehouse or whatever we are talking about, I see that the data fabric model, where everything need not have to be centered in one place, is the model that is going to happen. Even systems like lakehouse are offering what we call as a zero-copy integration, where the data does not have to be duplicated into my system. I can query the other sources on demand and give you the information if you want, provided you say this is a data source that is available. It could be a human computer or a personal computer that is running where you might have a connectivity that can query and get you the information on demand, or it could be another application that is running outside the data lakehouse network. This federated model of trying to access information on demand is already there. That's how people will try to architect their data layer in case they want to have it. It need not have to be a single data lakehouse. It could also be a multiple variety of data lakehouse based on the business's setup that they might want to have. Right? That's one part of it. If that verticalized data segmentation is going to happen, when you come to the machine learning models, especially LLMs, which is what is very hot now, a single foundational model, if it is very big, it might be trained with your own context. it might still not be the best for solving a particular narrow domain requirements. Because it will always have a reasoning engine which will get hallucinated, which can be misdirected because it has so much information in its mind. Trying to come to that particular problem that you're asking might be very difficult. It is going to be a world where, similar to how we had, instead of having one particular Excel sheet to do all your business work, collect all data, you had vertical applications which will help you to do. I have only CRM specific data that I want to collect, so you have a CRM application. Then you want to have only help desk data, so you had a help desk system. We were able to verticalize apps based on specific needs. In the LLM world, you are going to have SLMs that are going to be built purposely for the functional areas that you're looking at. For example, let's say for healthcare, I want to build an LLM for assisting my doctors. Their problem would be, this is the symptoms of what I have for my customer, for my client. Can you suggest the best procedure that I need to take? That is a specific question that I want to ask. I don't want to worry about what is happening somewhere else. So why should the model think about those things? I can train my model with a repository of everything to do with doctors and all the diagnosis that has been done, the prescription that has been suggested. Also, the best thing that has worked with all this data in a specific model can be a very small model. Although we talk about so much information, but it can be crunched in a single SLM. Domain-specific requirements are going to be solved through a variety of SLMs trained for this domain. And that will be trained by domain experts, the people who work on the particular application. Not by one person saying, I can solve all things in one LLM. That can be good for a foundation model like ChatGPT or Gemini. It takes all the publicly available information and gets trained for all the things. But an SLM has to work with private data contextually inside the business. So we are going to see this kind of a distributed SLM, MLM, along with an LLM architecture, which is the way that most of the enterprises will adopt AIs in the time to come.
One of the things we're seeing is a lot of companies dipping their toe into the AI market, not driven often by their own strategy, but driven by their users who've gone out and they've had a bit of a play with Gemini, they've had a bit of a play with ChatGPT, they found other publicly available generative AI systems where they can ask questions. They want to do that in their daily job to speed things up, particularly when it comes to research and analytics. But you mentioned something really important there, the difference between private models and public models. That leads us to the challenge of hallucinations, where my users are asking questions and they're doing business intelligence and analytics. There has to be a level of absolute trust in that data. Are companies, in your experience, beginning to understand that they have to pay a lot of attention to ensuring they build these systems on private data and that they can use mechanisms like RAG and other technologies to expand where they need to? Or are they still unsure of what route they should be taking?
Definitely, there is a demand. There is a slow but steady demand from the customer's angle on how can I relevantly deploy or leverage an LLM model for my business in the context of the BI or in the context of their business from any of the applications that they want to adopt, right? There is an increasing demand for people to have a solution to leverage the power of LLMs, because ChatGPT is almost synonymous. For everyone who wants to get information, they go on. Previously, it was Google. Today, it's ChatGPT. It is more than just giving you a set of 10 links. It gives you the content itself pre-generated. So why not I take it? It has become a handy tool for everyone. So everyone is exposed with LLMs. From a business angle, the customers do not want to lose any edge because of not using LLMs. So the pressure is building up steadily. We are seeing quite a lot of demand that is coming from customers. When we go and converse with the customer, although we talk about all the capabilities that we have, the first question they ask, what is your AI story? What does the platform offer in terms of AI? Do you have a generative AI capability? That's the first question they ask in many of the conversations, especially in the enterprises. Small businesses have their own problems, but enterprises, one of the important questions, what is your AI story? The second point is, when we get into the detailing, how do we really leverage LLM in the context of a BI or in context of any of the applications that you want to build? If you just give the foundation model and expose it as part of our interface, that is going to hallucinate because it has so much information. The most reliable way by which LLMs can be leveraged by a business application is what we call RAG, retrieval augmented generation, or what they call grounding through the private data. What happens there is you have a private data that you have already collected into your BI system or into any other application. You have a foundation model that is already there. So you use this particular data and give this as an input to your prompts that is going to your LLMs. The prompt has more contextual information and it can reason out and give you a better outputs. This is a recommended model and a model which is effectively working to really leverage LLM from the context of a business application like BI. Customers, as we are explaining the need for the RAG-based model of trying to give you a private data for this particular SLMs or LLMs is an essential need. People are started to appreciate because they see the outcomes. If I give data, then the LLMs can be much better and it can solve my need. That appreciation has started to come with more and more use cases that we can demonstrate as part of the products that we are offering. But to your question of, can I still trust outcomes that I go into give as part of the LLM? Because even though I try to give RAG, I would say it's a maturity model that is happening. There is a constant movement in the context of BI. Will it be reliable? I would say we are getting there to become more and more reliable with figuring out how we can use RAG more and more effectively. Even building SLMs specific to BI systems, not just taking a foundation model and use it. We are working on something like, can we build a purpose-built SLM? Which will work on the BA-specific information, BA-specific problems that they have. That particular LLM will be an SLM. It will understand BA-specific questions, and it can answer things with effective RAG-based blending of user data and give information which is much more reliable. That is happening, but we still have some way to go to really become very robust, where people do not have to worry about anything. They can use LLM or generative AI-based interfaces and get to conclusions faster. That's still some time to go.
The make or break of any system, however, is not always in the technology and the data. It's in the usability. 40 years of being around this industry has taught me that user interfaces, some can be friendly, some are rather like jumping into a pit of snakes and trying to stop being bitten. Users today, quite rightly, set a very high bar for what they consider to be usability. That's where generative AI has given them an expectation that they can ask a question in natural language and get a response. But when we think about analytics, one of the things with analytics is that ability to continually drill down to get to the piece of information we want. And that's not always about asking one question. It's about asking the question, refining the question. We don't want to turn users into prompt engineers. So how do we make this whole process easier for them? How do we show them how to refine those questions from the data without having to teach them to be technology people? Because we have to democratize this.
Been in the BI systems for so long, one of the important evolution that we see towards democratizing of insights is basically making access to information and insights easy for users. That's very, very important. If you look at the BI history, there was the first generation of tools which gives you SQL-driven, developer-oriented tools where people to query data and then build reports, which were really static in nature. You cannot interact with data. It will be very static. That audience is basically developers and IT guys. They were the ones who can use the tool. And the decision makers have to really rely on the IT people to get the reports, right? That was the world it was. Then came the self-service BI model. Even the business users can use a slice and dice interface to really explore the data and create the reports and dashboards that they want to get and come up with inferences. That was one important evolution in terms of the BI platforms. That happened in the late 2005-2010s. The third generation today, it is going to be a completely AI-powered or what they call as augmented BI AI platforms. What it really means is, instead of users being guided through an interface where they go through an interface builder and create reports, analyze and things like that, I give a very easy to access system like a chatbot, like a copilot, where I can come into the system today. I can say, how was the sales doing yesterday? I can just start conversing. I don't have to create any report or dashboard. I have my sales data that is already collected at the back end. I don't have to worry about the models. I'm just asking, how was the sales yesterday? It understands that you're asking something about sales and understands which model has the data, fetches the data, gives me a nice chart. This was the trend yesterday. This is the number of sales that you did. This was the revenue that you made yesterday. Then he said, okay, how does it compare with last week? What was the moving average? I just ask the question because that is what typically a business user wants to know. Let's say I'm a sales guy. I want to know how many deals that I closed yesterday. Instead, I have going to the interface, opening a dashboard, looking at the KPI widgets, and then coming up to the conclusion. I can keep conversing in a very easy way and get insights that I want to do. One way the BA systems are evolving is to give a very robust natural language processing engine or a conversation assistant where users can interact with data in a very easy way as they can interact with a chatbot or ChatGPT. Insights gets bubbled up without they need to worry about the model, how to create a report, what KPI it is. They don't worry about that. Everything is taken care of by this BA system. As a BA platform vendor, we don't want the users to be bogged down with what kind of prompt can you ask. You ask, we will reason out. We know the domain. We know the data that you have collected. We know the models. We are well trained for that. So you don't worry about the prompts. You ask what you want. We will understand your intent and try to suggest the best thing that can be possibly given from the BA system because it's a very domain-specific application. More than helping users to guide them on how to build a prompt, we are trying to build the system in such a way that the prompts are pre-built inside. We train this LLMs much better and expose the interface in a more easy fashion to the users so that they can ask naturally and we get the insights from the backend. That's the way the BA systems are trying to evolve. The pre-training is happening. The SLMs specific to the BA systems are also evolving. When things get to a very good maturity level, the interfacing model itself will become so easy for people need not have to go through a complete dashboarding builder and a chart builder and all these things. They just have a chatbot, they interact, get insights. Set up an action. For example, let's say I want to look at my sales trend for the last 1 month. It gives you a nice dashboard building data from all the data that is there. And then you might want to say, send this particular dashboard as an email to Ian. It will automatically send the mail to Ian and it will understand that Ian is my colleague. He is in my system. In case it has a question about that, he will say, is it this particular Ian? Is this the mail ID for him? It will ask and confirm. Yes means it goes. Systems is where it is going. And the knowledge that the user needs to have to come up with their best prompt to get their output will come down as we have more domain-specific models and BA-specific models built and given as part of the system. That's the way I see it.
That mentioned with chatbots important. We've spent 15 years now as mobile applications have become more mature, telling enterprises that users don't want clunky enterprise models. They interact with their telephone. They want that business application on their screen to be as simple as their telephone. And that chatbot mention is a critical element that a lot of people are still missing here. If my user can engage with a publicly available form of AI in that conversational mode, why can my users not do the same thing? But that does require that we have to think a bit about that. It requires a technology shift as well. We're starting to see chatbots engaging with users when they come into our system. They're answering questions. They're starting to sound like a human operator. How do we balance that engagement of AI with our end users and that point where we hand over to a human with our end users when we have that engagement?
If you look at this chatbot models, chatbot is becoming more smart. The chatbots in previous generation of chatbot is basically a rule set. This happens, answer like this. If this happens, answer like that. That's how chatbots were built in the previous generation. But given that we have LLMs at the back end, the LLMs has a very strong natural language processing engine. It will understand the intent automatically. And it can also reason out this customer is asking, or this is what the user is asking. Is happening now, the reasoning engineering that we are talking about. In the recent development, there is something called tool calling. Apart from understanding the reason, it can also do the appropriate function calls inside the backend system so that it will get the information that is required automatically. You train. These are the advancements happening in that LLM layer. When the end users are interfacing, the reasoning engine will become so pronounced or so strong that it might understand that it cannot answer the question that the user is asking, because the fact is, it has some knowledge on which it has been trained. It has some capabilities that it can really invoke. But outside that bounds, this particular chatbot will not be in a position to answer the questions. The reasoning engine behind this particular chatbot or whatever interface could come to a conclusion saying, hey, whatever question that you are asking, I'm not able to answer. I'm not able to answer because I don't have the knowledge. I was not fed with this knowledge. So you might want to talk to this person, or you might want to send an email, or you might want to send this particular thing as a ticket to this particular application. Would you like to file this as a ticket to my application? Or would you like to loop in this particular person? I can bring that person automatically into this particular chat window. That's the direction in which this pervasive model is trying to get into. It is not about what I know alone, but I am also smart to know what I don't know and direct you appropriately to the right person, or at least guide you to the next possible steps that you can take to get whatever you want.
That ability of chatbots to make that decision has got a long way to go. I was talking to my insurance company yesterday, renewing my car insurance, and it was asking me the usual questions, your date of birth, your insurance policy, but it was getting numbers wrong. And every time you say no, the basic response was, I'm sorry, that was my fault. And there comes a point where you just want to shout at your telephone because that's not helping the conversation. That's the point where we need to be smarter about when we engage with a human. Our end users are becoming customers of our data. I know we're short on time. So what I'd like to ask you is, if you were now sitting in a room of people who are saying, we've used BI for years, we've got what we think are good data models, what we need to know is, how do we get to AI? What would you be telling them in terms of their preparation and their deployment?
Today, people most often talk only about generative AI, because AI is not just about generative AI. Generative AI is one part of AI. I would tell them, you have to look at what types of AI that you can start looking at deploying inside your BI systems. It could be, you might want to do advanced analytics inside your BI system. For example, I want to do predictive analytics. I want to come up with clustering or segmentation analysis. Those are what we call either pre-built models, or you might want to build your own ML models to make sense of the data that is already there. The second part of it would be, how can I leverage something like generative AI to really help my insights journey in terms of how do we really make sense of whatever that I've collected? There is one part where it is all about building ML models to make sense of the data that you have collected. The other is deploying generative AI capability to make it easy for you to come to conclusions or inferences easily from the BI data that you already collected. If you look at generative AI, then you have to break down, what are the use cases that you want to deploy generative AI for? Would you like to deploy generative AI assistance, which will help you to do the data management foundation part effectively? Would you like to have the generative AI component available for people to analyze data, where the data is already set up? Would you like to help them analyze data, where it can give you a chat interface for people to interact and get insights? Or it could be an autonomous AI system that is running at the back end, which will keep monitoring and give you insights automatically through an email or through some kind of interface that you are familiar with. So would you like to deploy in the analysis layer? You have to look at what is your requirement. But one fundamental thing is, AI is now becoming an essential component if you really have to get deep insights on the data that you have already collected into your BI systems. The way that you have to break down is, do I have to build ML models to get insights automatically on what I want to do? Or do I want to deploy something like generative AI to make my user's journey easy in terms of getting to conclusions, in terms of insights or building models or finding out issues into my data? What are the use cases that you want to solve? Look at these use cases, then go about trying to find out what is the best way to try to implement them into your BI systems. The AI world is maturing at a very fast clip. Staying away from this kind of technology adoption will become a handicap over time if you are not prepared in terms of adopting that in an effective way. So design what you want and then go about trying to experiment with the best starting point at a small scale. Look at the outcomes, refine it, and then expand over time. That's the way I would suggest in terms of people looking at AI.
I think one of the challenges for them is they're going to be already working on projects with ML. They might have their first projects in AI that they haven't thought through in this way. And they're going to have to make a decision. Do we complete those other projects, or how do we bring those projects all together? The reality is, it won't be either or. It will always be a mix of different technologies. And that's an important thing we have to hope people take on board. Clarence, I appreciate you talking to me this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and it was a pleasure talking to you. It was a great conversation.